This episode of the Spider Bites podcast is sponsored by TeePublic.com. TeePublic.com is an online merchandise store that showcases indie artists' design products from tees to totes to tapestries to whatever. They have thousands of designs, the prices are super affordable, and every purchase supports an independent artist. All of us at the Spider Bites podcast are picking out our favorite designs, and you can see what we like this week. Whether it's the Dabbing Husky or Thanos the Infinity Stone Bay, you can find and purchase these designs on t-shirts, sweatshirts, hoodies, or even phone cases. Just visit our store at teepublic.com/stores/spider-bites-podcast. Look, I know it's a mouthful, but the link will be in the description of the episode so you can find it there and see for yourself. And thanks again to teepublic.com for sponsoring this episode.
Like, the one guy had, like, a, I don't know, it was, like, a weird, how to say, like, maybe, like, New York or something kind of accent. And then the other guy had, a like, an Irish accent. I was like, where are you guys from? But, yeah, they'd be like, oh, you know, this coffee shop? He'd be like, I get my coffee there every day. I was like, coffee. He's like, yeah. And the Irish guy's like, oh, yes, I do. What a time. There's just so many accents and so much going on.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Spider Bites podcast, where every week we answer questions about our lives in hopes that you can relate to it just a little bit. If you like that, you can head on over to twitch.tv/CJSpider every Thursday night at 7:30 p.m. Central. This is episode 170. I am one of your hosts, Spider, and I am joined back again from vacation. It's Ashley. How's it going, Ashley?
Man. What a time. It was like back-to-back vacations. I can't imagine your whole thing when you like
went to three cities.
You traveled like three different places.
Yeah, three cities in 3 weeks.
I can't imagine that. I couldn't do it. But it was fun.
Well, I'm glad you had a good time. That's what's most important.
How have you been?
I've been stressed out of my mind.
Oh, man.
It's been crazy. Just back-to-back classes. Speaking of three cities in 3 weeks, I have three training classes. This week we're doing a class, and then I have another class, both 5 days each, next 2 weeks after this. And then we go into testing again. And then I believe I finally have a break, because then that'll be the week of my birthday. So...
Speaking of,
yeah.
I just looking at your Twitter handle was like, what is 826? I was like, oh, it's his birthday. Literally right as you were starting the podcast, I noticed that.
You figured it out. You cracked the code.
Yeah. Well, the numbers at the end of mine is my birthday as well. So the 2796.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a thing. Because people, you know, would be like, oh, where's the other 2,795 of you? Like, was it taken? It's like, no, it's just my birthday. Leave me alone.
No, I never had anyone ask me what happened to the other 825.
Well, you're lucky. I've had it a couple times.
I guess nobody really cared enough to ask.
I guess for me, it wasn't really random people. It was usually, like, friends, but still.
Oh, okay.
It's not some rando. Well, I hope you enjoyed my snaps from Chicago.
I did. Chicago is a very, especially downtown Chicago. Downtown Chicago is a very beautiful city. So I definitely love the photos, love the food. It was all
it was
great.
So good. Man, we went to the Bean like 3 different days, and we've been before, but my grandma randomly was like, I'd love a picture of the Bean. I'm like, okay, well, I guess we'll go there. Even though we've gone before.
But right.
So we went and took a picture, and like I said it to her or whatever, and then we just went 2 other days and just sat there for like hours, just people watching, like, because we didn't really have like an agenda this time. It was just going to go.
Yeah.
So we went to some bookstores and walked around, and, you know, went to Navy Pier and the area over by the aquarium. We didn't go to the aquarium.
Okay.
We went to the Bean. We went to, you know, so did a lot of walking. It was like because I had my Fitbit, I was able to see how much I walked, and my friend added it together, and it was like a total of like 34 miles.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah. But yeah, it was a lot of fun, and it was very hot. So, you know, that was a whole thing. The first day, because I was stupid, I didn't put sunscreen on because I didn't think about it. So I got a little bit of a sunburn.
You didn't think about it?
No, because I didn't realize how much we were going to be like out in the sun. I didn't know what we were doing, and I didn't like think about it. I don't know. I didn't register in my mind until after we were out. And then it was like, well, too late now.
That's fair.
But it was just like a little bit on like my face and my like the part in my hair. But it wasn't, it was just like a little red. It wasn't bad. Like it wasn't super red or anything. And then the days after that, I made sure to put on sunscreen and stuff. But
gotcha.
Yeah. Good time. I definitely enjoyed.
Oh, that's good. I am hoping, as long as everything, and I'll knock on wood on this, but just as long as everything goes according to plan, I should be going back to Canada the day after my birthday. They announced, or at least the Canadian government announced, that they're reopening to fully vaccinated Americans. Mm-hmm. For discretionary travel. So, you know, anything that's non-essential. Mm-hmm. And so I would still have to get a COVID test and have a negative test result, you know, no more than 72 hours before I go. And then I have to get another coming back. But hopefully I won't need like any other special permissions or special exemptions or anything like that. So it should be a little bit less of a hassle trying to get there.
Yeah, that'll be
nice. Yeah. And then since I am fully vaccinated, then once I get there, I won't have to do the whole quarantine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was my friend and I, we waited. Once we were both fully vaccinated, we're like, you know what? We miss Chicago. Why not go?
Yeah.
And so that's what we did. On the train, it was like it's a federal thing. Like you have to wear a mask no matter what on the train.
Mm-hmm.
I guess airplanes are like the same way. So my friend had recently been on an airplane and she went to go visit family, and she's like, they were like crazy about it, where they're like, between sips and between like bites you have to put your mask on. And the train was just like, I mean, if you're eating or drinking, you can take your mask off, but like put it back on when you're done. Like, right. They weren't as like between sips. But most people, it seemed like, were good about it. On the way home though, there was like, it was already late in the day, you know, and we're coming back from our trip, so we were all tired and stuff. And there are these guys that were just like, they just met each other on the train and they were just talking and they were so loud. So I was like, all right, putting my headphones in. and it was like the whole train ride. It was literally right before we got off on our stop, which means like 5 hours. So it was probably like 4 hours, 45 minutes. They decided to go to the cafe car to talk instead of just hanging out here. It was like, what the heck? Why? And the one guy like stood up from his seat to like, so he was in the middle way to talk to the dude, to be closer to him. So everyone tried to go past him.
They got
to
like, squeeze by him. Way.
Yeah. I was like, what the heck? So that was a time, but he was technically in the row behind us. So he was like in the row next to us, in order to talk to the dude who was like behind that row. But it was just like, what a time.
That just seems so inconsiderate. Like, just loud and in the way.
Yeah. They weren't like super loud, but they weren't like quiet. And the dude didn't stand up for a while. It wasn't till maybe the last hour or so he was like standing up.
Mm-hmm.
But there was this dude like right behind, because I sit on the window seat because I have bad motion sickness, so it helps me. And my friend sits next to me on the other side. So there was a dude behind her that was like, probably, I think he said he like just graduated high school and he was going to visit his girlfriend or something.
Okay.
Was what we gathered from the dude next to him who was talking to him. And that the dude next to him was the one who like talked to the other dudes or whatever. So I was like, we learned so much against our will.
It's like, I don't want to be a part of this conversation, but I feel like I don't have a choice right now.
That's really what it it was. And they're like, oh man, you know this, like the one guy had like a, I don't know, it was like a weird, how to say, like maybe like New York or something kind of accent. And then the other guy had a like an Irish accent. I was like, where are you guys from? But, yeah, they'd be like, oh, you know this coffee shop? He'd be like, I get my coffee there every day. I was like, coffee. He's like, yeah. And the Irish guy's like, oh yes, I do. What a time. There's just so many accents and so much going on. So about half an hour into the trip was when I put headphones in.
I mean, you couldn't miss that gold.
Talk about coffee and I don't know, like other places in Chicago. I guess both of them had been there. I don't know where either of them were from, if they were like, if they were, I don't know where they were going. I mean, it was somewhere after us, clearly. I don't know. I didn't learn that.
that's like the fun of traveling. It's like you get to hear those things. And be around like all these different kind of people, even, you know, if you're not interacting with them firsthand, just stories that you pick up on, things that you just so happen to see occur.
Yeah. Oh man. My favorite was this little kid when we were, cause we would sit on like this little area. It was like between the bean and between this, like, outdoor auditorium thing where people would practice. It was really cool. So you could hear like the orchestra and like choir and stuff. But we would sit there because it was like in the shade and you could hear if they were practicing, and then you could also people watch at the bean and stuff. So that's where we sat a lot. And there was a little kid that was going by and he was holding onto his mom's hand or whatever. And there's lots of pigeons around and he waves at one and goes, hi, duck. And his mom's like, that's a pigeon. And it was just so cute.
Aww.
Like, he had the right idea, but.
Yeah. Like, I know it's a bird. One of them.
Hi, duck. It was very cute.
It's like, it's like that Vine video with the. All the ducks out, in, I guess, like in a field or whatever. And the little girl's like, look at all them chickens.
Exactly. That was probably the best thing that happened. But yeah, good times all around. A random question. It's not my question, like my topic.
Okay.
But I just thought about it because I went over to my parents' house yesterday to like bring laundry that I had from Chicago to do and stuff and stayed for dinner. And one of the things we had was like corn on the cob. Like you've had corn on the cob, right?
Yes.
Okay. Which way do you eat it?
You mean like, do I eat it vertically or horizontally?
Yeah.
I guess horizontally. I hold it like this and then chew into it like that. Well, it depends. If it's like a full... If it's a full cob, then I'll eat it like that. If it's like one of the ones that are cut and they're like little small ones like that, then I'll just like hold it vertically and just like bite into the whole thing. Like just kind of scrape the kernels off top down.
That one I've never heard of. But I do it like the vertically. I just twist it as I'm like eating it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what most of my family does. But I think it's my dad, maybe one of my brothers, and then maybe one of my sisters. Like, it was at least two of them. I know my dad for sure will eat it like the typewriter way, the left to right.
Oh, okay.
And so that's why, like, every time now, it's just interesting to watch how we all eat corn on the cob. And then my sisters, though, especially my one, because she just got braces sometime during COVID. I don't remember when, like a month ago or two. Because, yeah, something like that. So now she just, you know, if we have corn on the cob, she just cuts it off with a knife so she can eat it normally without eating it on the cob. But. So it was just a question I thought of because we had corn again last night. I was like, how do other people eat it? Like, what's the more common way?
That is an interesting thing to think about, because it's one of those things that if you really put thought into it, you're like, okay, I see my parents eat it that way. Did I learn it from them or did I learn it from someone else? Because it's not like one of those things where, you know, you just have a plate of. And so you know, you eat a plate of food with a fork or whatever. But even when it comes to like, say for instance, if you're cutting a steak, you know, which hand do you hold a fork and a knife in? Because like for me, I honestly, when I was younger, I would, because I'm left-handed, I would cut my steak with my left hand. I would hold the knife in my left hand and then just kind of like take the fork and just kind of stab it, because I wasn't really like trying to finesse it or anything. So I'll just hold the fork, I'll stab it, cut it with the knife, and then, you know, like caveman with a like stick, then jab it in my mouth. And, you know, after I got older and got better dexterity with my hands, I was able to use my right hand to cut it and then like eat it normally.
Yeah, I'm right-handed, but when I like cut anything like steak or anything, I use my, like, I put my fork in my left hand to hold it down, hold whatever piece I'm cutting down, and then I use my right hand to cut. And then once I do, sometimes it depends on what I do, because if I like eat that bite right away, then I'll eat it, you know, with my left hand, because that's the hand the fork's in. Or sometimes I'll like cut multiple pieces.
Yeah.
And then I'll switch, yeah, to my right hand with the fork and then eat it. But yeah, that's, I don't know. I don't remember when I was younger. I used to not care at all. I would just like just stab the whole thing with my fork and just eat it like that. And my parents would always get mad at me. They're like, you're like a caveman.
I mean, it's better than you picking it up with your hands and eating it like that.
Yeah, but now I use a knife on like everything all the time. And my sister, might be both of them, but I know at least my older one all the time will like, they just eat it the way I used to.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, now that I've grown up, I've learned that using a knife is a lot easier, actually.
Instead of just stabbing it with the fork and grabbing it and then just trying to tear a piece off.
Something like steak, which is kind of hard to like if it's chicken, that's, you know, pretty easy to come apart. But steak, I don't know, there's, for me, it's kind of harder to bite through. It's a lot easier to just cut it with a knife first and then eat the piece.
It helps strengthen your teeth and like your neck muscles, because you gotta like rip it.
Your neck muscles. I don't need neck muscles. I don't need a strong neck. But all right, now I'll go into my actual question.
Okay.
I guess that could have been an actual question.
Could have been.
All right. So have you ever put any sort of like work or research into like a show or game or something? Like, I've done it a couple times where like for Bungo Stray Dogs, once I learned that they were actual authors, I didn't do like a lot of research or anything, but I like looked up the actual authors and, I don't know, learned a bit about them. Not really. I know like people a lot of times will actually go and buy their books, especially the ones that are like, they like their abilities are named after, like Dazai's would be, No Longer Human, and people would like read that book, or like, Dostoevsky's, Crime and Punishment, or, you know, like any of those, because that's what their things are. I haven't done that, and I don't really plan to. I looked up the authors before and saw what they looked like and stuff, and it kind of helps to learn a little bit more about their characters, because it takes, it's obviously an exaggeration, but it takes pieces from the real life version into the characters. So I've got like that. For BNHA, I've looked more into quirks and like, you know, they can't be like, I don't know, there's like three different things they can be, and it can't be like all of them. I forget what they are. There's like emitter, mutant, and then like something else. So I did a little research on that. Cursed energy for JJK, which is like impossible. I don't understand cursed energy. Like, I understand it to a very, very basic degree, but I've tried to look into it, and I've tried to look at other people, and like, because people did it, I remember, with BNHA a lot too, where they'd come up with like their own like OCs or whatever, and then they'd explain like a quirk or whatever. Or they'd come up with their own quirks, or I've seen that with JJK too, with their own cursed energy techniques, and it's interesting to look up. But then, especially with JJK, I learned that a lot of people were like, I don't really know how cursed energy works, so.
Yeah.
That one's tough. And then the last thing that I know for sure that I've done is, the Sengoku period in Japan. Like, obviously in Japan, you learn about that because you're in Japan. But if you're here in America, at least most places, at least where I went, you don't learn about that at all. So I didn't know like any of the names of any of like the famous warlords or anything. But I know there are some like Ultimate games that are based on the Sengoku period, which uses their names. Pretty much that's about it. And there's also like an anime Sengoku Nightblood, which was very confusing. It's about, like, it's the same thing. It's all, like, Sengoku, like, warlords and stuff, but it's, like, vampires and werewolves or something. I don't remember. Mm. But I remember that it looked weird, so my cousin and I wanted to watch it. We're like, oh, this is probably gonna be a time. And then the first episode, they're like, because it's some girl who gets transported back in time, so, you know, whole thing. But it's like, they're all in the middle of, like, fighting, and they're just shouting names. And if you've never heard these names before, you're like, I don't know what's going on. And there's, like, a million different characters. So we ended up playing, like, Sengoku Otome games and then learning the characters that way. And then going back and watching the anime in order to know who the characters were. And then the first episode and beyond that made a lot more sense.
Oh, okay.
So we literally had to go, like, play Otome games to learn the characters' names and kind of a bit about them in order to watch the crazy anime.
Wow.
Which I would love to rewatch because I don't really remember it, but I do remember it being a time. And I looked it up because I couldn't remember the name, and there was, like, two seasons. I was like, is there really? I don't know if I ever watched the second season. But yeah, if you ever want to be very confused, if you've never heard about, like, anyone from the Sengoku period, go watch the first episode of Sengoku Nightblood and it'll be so much worse. Because they're like, Hideyoshi Toyotomi and Nobunaga, I don't remember his first name, Oda, or last name, I don't know, whatever.
But I'm, like, confused already.
If you've already. Never heard those names, yeah, that's two people. And they're on the same side. There's multiple sides. Like, and there's so many characters. Iyasu. Who else is there? Freaking Yukimura. I'm just trying to think of names. But yeah, there's, like, so many. So, if you've never heard of them, it's very confusing.
It is, because right now it's just like you're yelling out syllables. And it has no frame of reference to me at all.
Yeah, that's the one I know for sure. I, like, put in work for a show. Was like having to just figure out who they were. And now I know. Like, now, to a degree, I don't know, like, exactly what everything is with history, because I've played Otome games and watched anime about these two people, but, mm-hmm. like, I know some of the history to a degree, because it is in the game sometimes, because it's usually the main character, like, the girl gets transported back in time, so she's like, I know the things, I know the people, obviously, but it's weird to see them in person. But so, like, I know Nobunaga was killed by Mitsuhide, forming a coup, and or he killed him, or he suicided or something, but Mitsuhide had formed a coup, I know that. And then Hideyoshi went after Mitsuhide because he was like, how dare you kill Nobunaga? Like, I know that! But that's all I can think of off the top of my head, because it's been a while since I watched the anime or played the Otome games.
Why do I feel like Nobunaga is a character in the
It could be. It's also, like, a normal Japanese name. Like, people actually to this day, like, there was a voice actor I saw recently that had that name, so it's possible.
Oh, okay. I want to say it was Inuyasha. That's, like, the first thing that jumps into my head when I... Okay.
Very possible. I can look it up for you real quick.
No. But to answer your question, I don't know if this counts as doing research, but, like, for all of the MCU shows that have come out in the last year, WandaVision, Falcon and the Winter Soldier, and then Loki just wrapped a couple weeks ago, there's this channel on YouTube called New Rock Stars, and they do breakdowns of pretty much just about every pop culture, like, show or movie, because they do Rick and Morty, you know, then they do DC stuff too. They also do Marvel stuff. And so after every week, they would do a reaction to the show, to the episode that came out that week. And then a couple days after that, they would do, like, an Easter egg breakdown, and it would point out all, like, the little Easter eggs and the hidden clues and everything that was sprinkled throughout the episode, and then theorize on where they thought that the show as an overall story would go and how it plays into the rest of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And so I had heard of New Rock Stars before because Jack had been talking about, because Jack will always say that New Rock Stars is probably one of his favorite YouTube channels. And up until they just started doing the Disney Plus shows, I hadn't really watched any of their content before. But I started watching their all their, you know, their episode breakdowns, and now they've been doing trailer breakdowns to all the new movies that are going to be coming out later this year and everything. And so it's almost like it's a ritual. Like the episode, because WandaVision came out on Fridays, Falcon and the Winter Soldier came out on Fridays, and then Loki, when it came out, started coming out on Wednesday. And so the episode would come out, and then later on that day, they would post their reaction video and just kind of talk about everything that happened in the episode and then theorize about what they think is going to happen. And then the day after, they would come out with a, an Easter egg breakdown video. And so it's like I have a routine that I go on YouTube now and I watch all of these Easter egg videos and basically try to stay up to at least what they consider is current information when it comes to how all of these shows will be connected into the MCU. And then Black Widow came out, and they're talking about Doctor Strange is supposed to come out next year, and Spider-Man is supposed to be coming out later this year. And so they're just like trying to connect all the dots and everything. And it's gotten to the point to where probably a good, I'd say a good 40% of my timeline on my For You page on TikTok is like Marvel stuff. And out of that 40% of my For You page, I would say a good 30% of it are those type of people who break down the episodes and the MCU characters, and they do it all like under a minute and everything like that. So it's just been like this rotating form of absorbing social media, whether it's news articles, YouTube videos, TikTok videos. Every time an episode comes out, I just like consume all of this information, retain absolutely none of it. If you were to ask me, like, well, what did they say was going to happen with this character going on to this movie? I'm like, you know what? I don't know. They say something's going to happen to him, but couldn't tell you. But it's just like an info dump. I take it all in.
Fair.
And then the next episode comes out, I flush that all away and then take in the information for the new episode.
It's a lot to remember.
It really
especially
is.
With like the MCU. There's so much.
But what I used to actually like do my own research with was The Flash. When I was like watching The Flash weekly. On the CW, because this was not necessarily before I was on TikTok, but I wasn't really into like the superhero side of TikTok as I am now. And then I wasn't watching new rock stars or any channels like that on YouTube. So anytime The Flash would introduce a new villain or a new side character or, you know, anything like that, somebody that I hadn't heard of, then I would go to like the DC Wiki or just Wikipedia or, you know, just some kind of explanation site to try to figure out, you know, who this person is, where they come from, what their comic book story is or their comic book background or biography is, as opposed to how they've introduced them in the show. And kind of like with the whole CW, well, not even the whole CW verse, but just mostly just Flash and Arrow, because there was just too much going on. Legends of Tomorrow that I just didn't really care to research. But yeah, I would, if it comes to shows, it's probably mostly just superhero stuff that I just start researching, because there's so many more heroes that are out there that aren't necessarily covered by like your mainstream TV shows or your movies that you don't know about. Like the new Suicide Squad movie that's coming out, The Suicide Squad, is basically full of DC villains and antiheroes that people probably had never even heard of before. So, like one of the villains is Polka Dot Man. And like nobody really knows who Polka Dot Man is unless you're like a diehard DC Comics fan. But, you know, so it's... It's interesting to kind of learn a little bit more about these other characters, because even though they're not as well known, they're still pretty prolific in the comic books. So they have these backstories and they have these arcs that they've come up against these like more well-known heroes, but they kind of just have like a small part of their story pushed to the side. So, I mean, it's like, it's nice that they're kind of getting their time to shine in the spotlight, because that's kind of what happened with Guardians of the Galaxy, that nobody really knew who Guardians of the Galaxy was for the most part, but their movie came out and they were one of the highest grossing MCU films. So, but it's interesting.
Yeah. We went to a comic store when we were in Chicago, because we were looking at like bookstores and things. She reads more actual books than I do. I was more focused just to see like if any place had manga.
Mm-hmm.
And there was like one Barnes & Noble that was like connected to a college, and it was small. And they had some manga, but I was really looking for volume 19 of Bungo Stray Dogs because, like, it's out right now and I wanted it and I couldn't. That was the only place I found that I think had manga. We went to, like, another bookstore, which is, like, it was a smaller place. It was family owned and they had some cool books, but it was not anything I cared about.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went to that comic store, which really all they had was comics. They had some manga, but it wasn't very much. And it was funny because there was a sign that's like, we have the latest manga. I was like, no, you don't. But it was like a very small selection of manga. I mean, it was a comic shop, so some comic shops I've seen people say, they're like, some have manga, some don't.
Mm-hmm.
And this one had some, it just didn't have many. It had definitely a lot of comics, but, you know, I don't care for comics.
Yeah.
My friend likes superheroes and stuff, though, so she was having a better time than I was, like, looking around. I was like, I don't really care.
Yeah.
But, yeah. We had lots of stuff. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, there goes a motorcycle. Yeah. But yeah, there is a character from Inuyasha called Amari Nobunaga.
Okay.
Says was a young samurai and a member of the Takeda clan. Says without me clicking on it, so
doesn't ring any bells.
They have black hair pulled into a ponytail. They wear like a blue that thing, traditional Japanese thing. I don't know if it'd be a kimono. I don't know. Who are you? Let's see. See, it's a boy. That's why I didn't know. That's why I was saying they.
Oh.
Because at first I was like, good girl. And then I was like, you know what? Maybe it's not.
Yeah, sometimes with anime, you can never tell the difference.
They first showed up in episode 8.
Oh.
That was the English VA. Brad Swale voiced, who was it, Light? In Death Note? Someone in Death Note. I think it was Light. I met Brad Swale. I got his autograph.
Nice. I'm trying to picture the character. I know if I see a picture of him, I'll be like, oh, that's who it is.
Yeah. I can't send you a snap because my Snapchat's broken.
I could look it up. Because I can't picture it. It's going to bug me.
First introduced when his pet monkey steals Kagome's clothes while she's swimming in a lake. I've never watched Inuyasha, so I don't know anything. So I can't really be like, oh, you know that one episode?
And I haven't. Okay. Yeah, see? It's him. Yeah. I think that's Sango's brother.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, I know it doesn't really do anything for you.
No, I remember Inuyasha used to be on, you know, like an Adult Swim.
Mm-hmm.
And I would never watch it. I don't know why. I had like a hatred for it when I was a kid. I was like, absolutely not. I don't know why. Like, I watched Naruto. I watched, like, what else? Sailor Moon. I don't know. Hamtaro is technically, maybe that counts. Tokyo, what is it, like Tokyo Mew Mew or something. Like, I watched other things, but I was like, absolutely not Inuyasha. Never. I don't know why. It's just, I was not having it when I was a kid. So I specifically would never watch it.
Yeah. It was also Nobunaga and Rx Hunter.
Oh, was there?
Yeah. He was part of the...
Not as far as I got, or maybe I just don't remember because it's been so long.
Part of the Phantom Troop.
Oh, I see. Man, you know what, like... Well, Hunter x Hunter has, like... They have such good music. And their first opening theme is still, like, one of my favorites. Like, whenever my friend and I will play, like, those games where it's, like, guess the anime by the opening or, you know, like, games like that on YouTube, as soon as that one pops out, I just start singing. I'm like, yes, I love this one. It's, like, one of my favorite openings. It's just so good. It's so catchy. Something about it. I don't know.
Well, no,
I really liked it. She never knows what it is, and I just start singing.
It's, what was, JJK's ending music for I guess the first half. Paradise? Maybe. I don't know. But the
taking off things.
I think it was like the first half of season one. The one where they was like it was animated to like
Boston Paradise.
With them all in casual clothes and they were dancing and stuff like that. If that rings a bell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that one is one of the ones that got me. I remember when I first watched it, and I was like, okay, I like this. Just, you know, started bouncing with it.
See, Lost in Paradise is so funny. I was talking about it with my friend recently about how, like, that one episode, like, Mappa's a mess, where they, like, you know how they put in, I don't know, I guess this would be, like, kind of JJK spoilers. They put in Junpei for, like, the opening as if, like, he's gonna be their friend. Like, it's gonna be great. And then he just straight up just dies.
Yeah.
Like, so, you know, Mappa. And then they did the thing. It was so funny where they were like, the three first years go to this thing and one of them dies. And then Lost in Paradise starts like, da da da.
You're right.
It's so funny.
You're right.
My friend said they should bring back that song specifically, and maybe even like the opening or whatever, or the ending. When they like start the Shibuya arc, because all I really know about the Shibuya arc is a lot of stuff goes down and characters die. That's all I know. I don't know who or anything like that because I haven't read the manga.
Yeah.
But so they're like right before that arc or something, like right once they like things start happening, they should bring this back just so it invokes the same like the same feelings as when they're like one of them dies and then they do this.
Oh.
But I know they took it down because the guy, one of the guys in the band or something, whatever that song is, mm-hmm. I don't remember. He was arrested for something. I don't remember what it was.
Oh.
But so they like took that song down from like everywhere, and everyone's like, man, I loved it.
Yeah.
Like off of Spotify and stuff. I don't know if it's back. I don't remember what the guy was arrested for, but yeah.
But,
what a time.
If we're talking about just anime music, I would say that some of my most recent favorites would be the theme for Cannon Busters, which was a Netflix anime. And God of High School has a pretty banging opening. But I would say some of my all-time favorite, just like all-around anime music would be Cowboy Bebop. Just from the opening to the music, and it doesn't even matter which episode it's in. In the ending, Real Folk Blues, just Cowboy Bebop just had awesome music, and I just bumped like awesome music, just like from front to back. Like every episode was great. It was just to the point to where when I was in training for the military, one of the guys that I was roommates with, he like put me on to the artist who did the music for Cowboy Bebop. They had like maybe 3 or 4 albums at the time. I don't know if they've produced more since then, but I remember, and this was back when like iPods and stuff were first being introduced back in like 2008 or whatever. And so I found out how to get like all of their albums. And that's like really all I would listen to for the longest time was just the group was called the Seatbelts. And I would just listen to the Seatbelts nonstop all day.
Now I gotta think back to like anime songs I liked. I know a common one is Bluebird, one of Naruto's openings. I can't remember what opening. I don't even know if it was Naruto, if it was Shippuden, and I don't know who Bluebird's by, but people who watch Naruto, they're gonna know that one.
Yeah.
I liked the first Haikyuu opening. Like, I could literally hear it in my head right now. Like, I remember liking that one, but no one ever talks about that one. They always talk about the second one, which I don't much care for and didn't really know as well because I watched the whole first season of Haikyuu. And then I stopped pretty early on during season 2. I think at the time it was, like, still coming out or whatever. And then I just haven't gone back to that. I really want to.
Yeah.
Because I did like the show, and my friend's really into it, and she's watched the whole thing. She's, I think she's read the manga. Like, the anime's, like, over. The manga's, like, over. So I want to go back and now, like, finish it. But I know, I just really remember liking that first opening, and everyone's like, the second one. It's like, what the heck?
Like, no, not the second one.
Like I said, Hunter x Hunter has a good opening. Monthly Girls Nozaki-kun, they had a good opening. That one is really catchy. I liked it. What else? Well, I like the ones, the Bungo Stray Dogs ones that Grand Rodeo does. I like some of Grand Rodeo's music, not like... It kind of depends on some of their stuff, but the guy who sings for like Grand Rodeo is Chuya's voice actor from Bungo Stray Dogs. So
okay,
it's interesting to hear. What else is a good one? I'm sure there's more. I can't think of any more off the top of my head.
Sure it is.
But there are some that it's just like I love this. There are some really good ones from Fairy Tail. They had some good ones.
Okay.
Can't think of any specifically off the top of my head. It's been a long time since I watched Fairy Tail. And then it's also hard once they start getting into like opening 16.
Yeah.
What number it was or what happened or whatever. I never really watched endings, so I don't really know endings as well because they're usually slower, and I usually don't care for slower songs as much. Like I like some, but I much prefer upbeat music. And then I would just want to go on to the next episode. Like there'd be no point in watching like a preview for the next episode when I could just watch the next episode. So I didn't care to watch that. I didn't care to watch the ending. So I don't really know a lot of the anime endings. I know JJK's.
Yeah. I was just about to say, I think that's why I gravitated to JJK's ending so much because it was different from the so melodic, ending animes have.
Yeah. Exactly. Obviously, Yuri on Ice had a good opening. Both like the animation and the music. That was another anime I never finished. I didn't finish a lot of anime when I think back on it.
Yeah.
SNK has a really good for the first one. It's really catchy.
Yeah, I think that's probably one of the most iconic.
The second opening.
Really?
Not according to the SNK fandom. If you're actually in the fandom, they're like, the second opening. Love it. Sasageyo. Love it. What the heck? What about the first opening?
I'd have to go back and listen to the second
one. The SNK one and the Haikyuu one. Yeah, those people are always like, the second one. I preferred the first one to both of those. I mean, Sasageyo is not bad. And I don't think I really like the second Haikyuu one too much, but like, I think the first one is called Fly High. And then obviously, Gurren no Yumiya. Like, those are good. But.
Can't even. Like, I can't even recall the second SNK opening.
I will say it sounds like the first, to a degree. It's kind of got the same kind of sound. All I could think of the part is when they say Sasageyo. They say it like twice.
Oh. I'd have to go back.
You might know it if you heard it.
Probably. When you say SNK, the first thing I would think of is the first opening. That's like the first thing that pops into my head.
Yeah, of course. But
I guess I'm not a real SNK fan, which I'm not. Also, I would never claim to be an SNK fan.
Yeah, I'm not either. No, that's another thing that my friend just like finished, and she's like finished the manga, which is, you know, that's done, and she's like every time the anime episodes come up, she'd watch. I'm like, God, you're so good at like finishing things. I'm not. Like, I was back, like, when SNK first came out, I was super into that because that was literally like, it was my senior year was when it was like big. And then, you know, they're like, well, we didn't think this would be as big as it was, so the anime or the manga's not far enough for us to make a second season of the anime, so you gotta wait like however many years.
That was a downfall.
Obviously, in that span of time, I fell out. Yeah. And like, I remember at the time reading the manga up to like only like chapter 50 or something. Like, they were really not that many chapters. And then I fell off of that. And then, so I started watching season 2 when it first came out. I didn't watch very much because, like I said, I already had fallen out of it, and then I just don't care. But, like, that's another one where both Haikyuu and SNK is, like, the last, I don't know, at least the last season, they, like, changed the art style. And it's like, why would you do that? And everyone's like, oh, I love how much they, like, I love their look in the second art style so much better. But it's like, no, now to me they look weird because I'm used to the first art style. Especially for, like, Haikyuu. Like, I don't know, like, that's what my friend says a lot about Asahi from Haikyuu. She's like, I hate how he looks in, like, once they change the art style. She's like, a lot of the other ones, like, they look good or, like, better or whatever, but she's like, Asahi, just, they shouldn't have changed him.
Yeah.
So that's something I get to look forward to whenever I finish Haikyuu. I'll never finish SNK because I do not care.
Yeah.
But Haikyuu, I have an interest in finishing. Free was another one I remember really liking the, like, opening and ending to, which, again, it was one of those where it was, like, the artists or the voice actors were, like, they did the opening and ending or something. I don't remember who it was.
Oh, okay.
It was Kodo's voice actor? I don't know. That's another. I'd have to look it up. But, like, one of them was, like, Rage something. God, I just remember really liking those. That was another one in high school. Like, oh, baby, they have a good opening. I think it's opening. But that one just started, and it's all the voice actors do it as well. There's only one or two episodes out right now. They're just quick little 5-minute episodes, which is kind of sad, but
yeah.
There's no MC, which is nice. It's just the brothers, like, interacting. And but I'm enjoying it so far. But I like their opening, and I want it, and they're like, it'll be released on, like, August 11th, I think. And I was like, man, what the heck? I want to get it on Apple Music now. Have you heard of, I can't even remember what it's called. I'd have to, like, look it up. It's like Yachirin, Bitch Club or something like that. So I've never watched it, and I don't really know what it's about. But I've heard, like, I know bits from TikTok is really all I know. Like, the bits of the, like, I think it's the opening song.
Okay.
And then what people, like, say about it. I know it's a mess. I think, I don't know if it's mature or what, but, I mean, it's called, like, Gachidan Bitch Club, so, I mean, think. But, like, I was going through my Apple Music yesterday because I was reading a book or whatever, but I was at my parents' house, so I had headphones in just so I could, like, not focus on everything going on in the house. And I was on one of my Apple playlists, like, one of the ones that they make me list. I think it was, like, the Get Up Mix or whatever. And that was one of the songs, was that opening. And I was like, what the heck, Apple Music? How dare you recommend this to me? I know they have some Japanese artists, including anime music. But how dare you assume that I want this, or that I like this? I don't know, because they sent it to my cousin, and she's like, yeah, it's like really intense, like, gay yaoi thing or something. I was like,
like, we know what she likes.
I'm not really, like, called out for no reason. I was like, I don't know how to watch this. But I have Grand Rodeo. I have Sekai no Owari. I have Yoasobi. I have Obey Me Music. Like, so they're like, obviously you're going to like this.
Right.
How dare.
Like, it's just this is the next step in progression. Like, nah, we got this.
It was very funny. It was my first one because I never heard the beginning part. I only knew a very specific part that plays on TikTok, which is further in the song. So when it first came on, I was like, what's this? I was just going to skip it because I didn't like the way it started. But then it's like, oh, wait, is this from like an anime or something? And I opened it up and I had to make the picture bigger. And then I realized what it was from. I was like, oh, I see. I'll have to like... You'll have to like look up just like a description of the show or something, because I don't even actually know what it's about. I just know that it's a mess and people are like, why were we allowed to watch this?
Oh, that should be great to look at. Go ahead and gear my search history to that so I start getting alerts for it and stuff.
Like, I don't even know if it's on like Crunchyroll or anything. I don't even know where you could watch it. I have no idea.
I'm sure it's out there somewhere.
Anyway, we always go back to anime nowadays.
Of course, it's a staple of life.
Gonna pour more of my drink.
But I have a question for you. Your parents listen to the podcast?
No.
Okay, and neither do mine. So this question should be fine.
They do not.
We shouldn't have to worry about getting back to them. but my question is, would you consider yourself to be smarter than your parents?
Depends on what it is, I guess. Because if it's anything to do with, like, fixing things... Or having the alphabet memorized in terms of, like, knowing alphabetical order really quickly instead of having to go, like, okay, A, B, C, D, E, F. Okay. Anything like that, I'm not. Because my mom is really good at that, the whole, like, alphabet thing. And my dad's really good at, like, fixing things or figuring things out or building things. So anything like that, no, they definitely have me beat. But when it comes to, like, especially certain things when it comes to, like, politics, it feels like...
Yeah.
Or, like, certain things with certain... They're fairly young. They're not, like, you know... like, my friend's mom is in her 50s. Like, they're not quite that old. So they're okay with technology, but then there are certain things where it's like, all right, come on. Like, I don't know. I guess it really just depends on what it is as to whether I feel like I know more than them or not. Especially when it's like, you know, your own special interests or something. It's like, obviously, it's my special interest, so I know about it. And then when your parents are like, oh, boy, especially when, like, I was in high school or middle school or something, it's like, cool, we're going to, for Christmas, we'll buy you things for, you know, whatever. And it's like, instead of, like, be, like, really cringy things or something, or, like, one time my grandma tried where she, like, bought me, just, like, an art book for a manga or anime or whatever I had never heard of, just because she's like, I don't know, you like things like that. But that's, like, very specific, like, your special interest.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, but I think in general, they have, especially my dad, has more life experience than me, a lot of things, and he's usually pretty good about being able to, if he doesn't know how to do something, looking it up or just working with it and being able to do it. For the most part, they probably are smarter than me, at least my dad for sure. But that doesn't mean that I won't ever feel like I am in certain situations, because I am the child. So of course, I'm
always gonna feel like I'm smart. Of course, you're gonna know, feel like you know more than
tell them that. Yeah, at all times, you're always going to be like, no, I know more than you.
Exactly.
It's like, I probably don't. But yeah, what about you?
No, I definitely feel the same way. My parents are a bit older, and I feel like it does go into the boomer versus millennial dynamic, especially when it comes to technology. Michelle can tell you, when we were recording the podcast, my mom called me. I had just started streaming. I was just about to hit record so we could start. And my mom called me because the Fire Stick that I set up for them wasn't loading. So she was calling me. She's like, yeah, the Fire Stick won't work. All I see is these three dots at the bottom of it. And I'm like, three dots? I don't know what you're talking about, three dots. So she FaceTimed me, and I'm like, I'm like, okay, well, I got to take this. So I'm sitting on stream talking to my mom, and Michelle was just talking in the chat while I'm trying to troubleshoot this whole Fire Stick situation. But so, yeah, stuff like that, they definitely don't really know, and I don't think they really care to learn, so they'll just call me and try to figure it out. But I think that, and no, and definitely like with my stepdad, like when you say like with political stuff, I think they are of the age to where they're set in their ways. They're not necessarily looking to change. And it's not that they're necessarily closed-minded, that they won't listen to other people's opinions, but I remember he and I were having a conversation about pronouns, because it was me and my cousins, their dad and my stepdad. We were all standing outside in the parking lot of a restaurant. We were just waiting to go in. And so we're just kind of hanging out, kind of talking. And my uncle was talking about how he was working with the this youth group, like youth community workforce group, whatever. And one of the youth was a trans guy. And so he was telling my uncle that he prefers the pronouns he and him. And my uncle was like, well, you know, she looks like a girl, but she wants us to call him a him. And I'm like, okay, well, you got to think about it. So you have a doctor, right? A doctor goes to school, to medical school for however many years, and you meet them. You're like, oh, nice to meet you, Mr. Jones. And they're like, oh, well, it's Dr. Jones. You're like, oh, okay, you're a doctor, so I'm going to call you Dr. Jones. And I'm like, yeah. Then, you know, my stepdad and my uncle were like, okay, yeah, I can see that. And it's like, it's basically the same way with pronouns. It's like, they prefer that you call them this. And it's a sign of respect that you call them by the pronouns that they prefer. And they were like, well, I don't get it. You know, what's the difference between the he and the they? And so, you know, me and my cousins, we're all, you know, millennial age and our, you know, early 30s, late 20s. So we're sitting there trying to explain, you know, the whole thing about non-binary, you know, and transgender and, you know, the selection of different pronouns. Some people, you know, some days they might have masculine days, some days they might have feminine days. They want to be referred to as he or she, or sometimes they might just want to refer to as they, you know, and just trying to like explain it to them. And you could see like the look on their face, like they're trying to understand. And we told them, like, you know, if you want to be safe, just refer to them by their name. They introduce themselves as a certain name, then just refer to them by that name. Don't worry about pronouns. And I was like, that's your safest bet. And that way you won't have to worry about misgendering them. You know, you identify them as the way that they identify themselves. And we're like, okay, I could do that. It's like, all right, well, at least you're not one of those ones like, nah, she looks like a she, I'm going to call her a she. It's like, at least they're not like that. So I am definitely appreciative that.
That's how my parents are.
Oh, no.
Like, my parents aren't.
I just regret Michelle's message.
I don't know how to put it. Oh, yeah, about the snake. Hmm. My parents, anything that has to do with like other pronouns or trans, they're like no. Yeah. But like gay or whatever, they're like fine, like whatever. So they don't care about gay, but like trans are just like, I don't know, because my, you know, especially my dad's whole thing is like, it's not fair, like what if you have a man who identifies as a woman and they're in women's sports, you know, like that's his whole thing. But yeah, like,
I so really,
they don't do the whole trans or like they have pronouns or anything like that.
Yeah, like I don't understand why that's such a big concern for everybody. And then,
well, but But then my grandparents actually try to, like they've talked to me about things, and they're like, they were having trouble with it, but they were, like, they were actively trying. They would, like, they were asking me questions, and I'm like, dude, I don't know everything.
Yeah, like now they turn to you as an expert. Like, you're the young one. Like, you know about these things.
Yeah, obviously. But they were asking about, like, asexual and, like, they, them pronouns and stuff. So I was like, even my grandparents are trying to learn versus my parents who are like, absolutely not. But also my grandparents are Democrats and my parents are Republicans. So, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so that's a whole thing that I don't even talk to my parents about. Like, I just don't care at this point, you know. Because, like you said, it's one of those where it's like, I'm pretty sure they're just probably set in their ways, and you know they'll figure it out on their own, or they won't. Like, it's not my job to try to educate them, especially when they won't listen or right. You know, whatever. And it's like, I've dealt with that my whole life. Like, I've just done with it. So I just don't talk to them about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Like, they know I'm gay and they're fine with it, and I've even, like, even the fact that I've changed identities, like, you know, how I went from pan to bi to lesbian. And, like, they're fine with that. And I was telling Dad before, I was like, you know, I was like, I don't care if people, like, end up changing their labels, whether, like, no matter what, even when it comes to trans or whatever, like, if you think you're trans and then you realize you're not, or if you think you're gay and you realize you're not, like, or you realize another label fits you better, like, that's perfectly fine. And Dad agreed with that.
Wow.
So I was like, what the heck? Dad, sometimes I don't understand them.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's a whole other thing.
Right.
But yeah, when it comes to that kind of stuff, you do kind of feel smarter than your parents sometimes.
But like, I would say actual smarts. Let's say my mom definitely has me beat with math. My mom has always been like a numbers.
Yeah.
She can calculate a tip off the top of her head with problem. And she's, like, throughout the years, she's tried to teach me, like, little tips and tricks and shortcuts. And it doesn't stick all the time. But,
yeah.
So, but no, yeah, she's definitely got me in math. I feel like I like to, like, and yeah, like you say, you know, I'm the child. So I like to think that I still know more than them, even though they have way more life experience than I do. So,
yeah, like, I don't know, I'm trying to think of like school subjects or something they might be better than me in, but I don't really know if there would be anything. Like, my grandpa's really good at math.
Mm-hmm.
I know he definitely has me beat when it comes to like math. But that's my grandpa. I don't know about my parents if they're particularly good at, like, any school subject. Not that I, like, can think of. I know they struggle, especially, like, over COVID, like, trying to help, like, my brothers and my sisters with their schoolwork. Because it's been a long time since they've been out of school.
That's kind of different, too, because that's, like, Common Core stuff.
And my mom... Exactly. Like, I even struggle with, like, their stupid Common Core stuff. There was something that my brother had before where it was, like, one of those stupid things that you've seen on the internet or whatever, where it's, like, if you have 7 and 5, how do you make a number that they, like, don't make? But then it's, like, hey, you take the 2 and the 3 from 5, and then you turn out, like, what?
It's, like, you gotta break down the numbers.
That makes no sense. Like,
yeah. Awful.
Yeah, absolutely, which awful. That's not how math works. Yeah, but so I know my brothers had something like that before, so that I understand them struggling with. But I think as long as it's something decent, they can usually sit down, especially my dad can sit down and like go over it and figure it out. But if it's something like that, I know he definitely struggles with. But I don't see my mom finished high school. She finished a little early, like a couple months early. But that's it. She never went on to anything else. And my dad never even finished high school.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been an extra long time since either of them have been to school.
Yeah.
So, and then neither of their jobs right now really require any kind of like it requires specific knowledge and like, but it's more
practical knowledge.
Like, like working with your hands, especially with my dad's does. Yeah, like he installs like things. I don't even know exactly what he does.
He installs
things. But I know he works with his hands. And then my mom, I need to install something. I don't know. And then my mom, she works in a doctor's office, but she does like filing and stuff. That's why she's really good with like the alphabet, where she's like, of course, N right here. You know, like she's really good at that kind of stuff versus me, where I have to go through the whole alphabet to figure it out because I don't work with that every day.
Right.
So all of those kind of things, they're going to be better than me at. But I don't know about school subjects, but at this point, probably my own siblings are like better than at most school subjects than I am, because it's been a few years since I've been out of school as well. I don't know. My dad's really good. Just, I know for sure anything that comes to like working with his hands, because he's just, I don't know. He's fixed up this house before. He fixed up the house they live in now. He used to be a roofer. He installs stuff now. He can build things. He built our lizard a cage, like their own cage before. The turtle tank that my sister's turtle sits on, he built the base for that. He built the dog run in their backyard. Like, he's really good at that kind of stuff. And then my mom, she's really good at like cooking and stuff. But it's always funny because whenever I ask her, I'm like, how did you make this? She's like, I don't know. I just threw stuff together. I'm like, mom, you
like, that's
time.
Not going to help me.
I can make it at home sometime. Yeah. It's like, how do you do this? Or she's like, I don't know. I've never cooked for like one person before. And I'm like, okay, but like,
I can have leftovers.
Like, I can figure it out. That's okay too. I can have leftovers, or I can like maybe invite like a friend over or something and we could share, you know, whatever. But so mom's never very helpful. She's like, I don't know, sometimes I look up a recipe online and then she's like, then I lose it, so then I have to look up another recipe. And I'm like, that's fine, but what about these like things you make all the time? Like, there are some things that she makes that I really like. Like, there's this one chicken that she makes that I think I've said before. I'm like, it's probably a really like white thing. It's like, I don't know if she came up with the recipe or she found it online, but it's like chicken with like cheese and like crushed up crackers. So it's like, I don't know what else she puts on it.
Okay.
But she calls it like cracker chicken. And it's really good. But like, so that's something that she makes. That one she could probably tell me. I've never asked her how to make that one. She hasn't made it recently, so I kind of forgot about it. But like last night she made some of those roasted potatoes that I really like, and the way she, like, she doesn't even like write it down or write down like what she needs. I'm like, how do you make this? And she's like, you dice up potato, well, you wash it, you like dice them up, and then you like throw them in, you cut up an onion. I'm like, well, can you like write this down or like something, because if you're just telling me, I'm not gonna remember it,
right?
No, that's and she always just... says it with such like no confidence. I'm like, you make it good, and you make it like all the time, but you're fine. Just relax. I'm just your daughter. Just ask you so I can make it for myself.
Yeah, it's just years and years of, because at some point somebody taught it to her, and she followed a certain recipe. Mm-hmm. Years and years of making it, she knows what works, what doesn't work, and it's just like, you got to find something and you got to refine it. That's what I did. Like, for me, one of the things that I enjoy making is lasagna, and I. Honest to God, I never make it the same way twice, because it's always because I never measure anything. I never have the same measurements, anything. I always it's either different cheeses or different, you know, way that I make the sauce. So it's always something different, but everybody says that they enjoy it. So.
Yeah, I haven't experimented too much with cooking, even though I lived by myself for a few years now. I haven't gotten too crazy. A lot of times it is just I don't want to make something because I haven't learned how to cook like quickly. So it takes me forever to cook. And by the time I start cooking, I'm already hungry.
Right.
And I also forget when I have like certain whatever, especially like perishable like ingredients or whatever. So then they end up going bad before I'm like, you know what? I'm going to make that chicken. But then something I need for the chicken is like, was in the fridge and now it's like bad, you know? So that's why a lot of times I just stick to like frozen meals or something. But like, I did make like a chicken parmesan before that. I literally got the recipe off of the, because it was spaghetti sauce that I already used for like spaghetti, but it had like a recipe for like chicken parmesan, and mm-hmm. I made it following that recipe, and it was like really good. And I've only made it that one time. I'm like, man, I should make that again.
Did you save the recipe?
And I just haven't. No, I think it's just on the back of like it's on the thing. It's pretty easy. It was just like cook the chicken, and then when it's pretty much cooked, you like pour in the sauce and like sprinkle the cheese over it, and then put the lid on so that the cheese like melts. And then I also added in my own like diced tomatoes or whatever.
Okay.
And then there you go. And then if you want to make spaghetti with it, you know, you can make spaghetti noodles on the side or not. But so, I mean, it was pretty straightforward. Make the chicken however you want. Like I put like, you know, I always put seasoning salt and like garlic powder mm-hmm. on like anything I make, like steak or chicken or anything like that. And I did it in like vegetable oil, I think. Okay. So that part's pretty straightforward. That I got that. And that's if it's right. Like I said, I only made it the one time, but I remember it being really easy.
Yeah.
But like, you know, and it's just, I don't know, the things that my mom makes, it's just like, just write it down or something, or it's going to be gone forever. Yeah. Like, just give it to me. I like it. It's good. I need to do that with my grandma too, because my grandma's a really good cook. Like my mom's good, but like, my mom or my grandma's really good, and my mom learned from my grandma, so you know that's how that worked. But both of their cooking's good. It's just, I don't know, I guess because I don't get grandma's as often, it tastes better.
I don't know. it's the nostalgia that's baked into everything.
Yeah, maybe that is it. When I was younger, I used to help my grandma cook and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Or like my dad. Like my dad makes like one thing. He makes I like chicken nuggets. I don't know, whatever he uses, like the flour and stuff to whatever, but that's another thing. I'm like, how do you make this? And he was like, I just throw this stuff in. Like they always just like, I don't know, I just throw these things in. Why are you both like this? But so like that's another one I need to like get your recipe from, because that'd be a like pretty easy one to make one day, just like because his chicken nuggets, like everyone loves them, they're like really good.
Yeah.
And it's just a simple thing, you know, however he makes it, but he's just, I don't know, I do this. And it's
like, what you gotta do is one day whenever they're making it, you gotta go over there and you just gotta sit there and you gotta record them, just like record a video of them doing everything that they do.
Don't mind me.
Yeah, just like set your phone up in the corner of the kitchen or something. Just kind of prop it up somewhere and just record them while they're doing it. And just try to get them to like talk through it while they're doing it. Like, oh, well, what are you doing now? And, yeah, oh, what's that? With, like, what are you adding?
Yeah.
Like you're interviewing them. Like you do like a 2020 interview.
Like, I don't need, like, an exact amount. Be like, I don't know, like, a pinch. Or be like, not too much, like, two taste or something. Be like, okay, I can work with that. That's at least something I can work with. I don't need, like, an exact teaspoon. Like, right. I know, like...
I can't...
That's not really how my parents cook. It's not, like, exact.
I don't think that I have ever in my life used any kind of measuring device to measure seasoning. Like, a teaspoon of salt... tablespoon of this, or you know, half a teaspoon of this, like, yeah, nah.
The only thing I can think that I really do something like that for would be like though pretty much anything Korean, because that I'm not too sure. I do kind of play, especially like with the spicy watermelon noodles, I play with that a little bit, where sometimes I add more or less of the like the gochujang or the gochugaru, because mm-hmm. it can make it more or less spicy. But like that, because I'm like not too sure, I'm just like, I will use these exact measurements because I don't know how, like if I change a little bit, I always add more garlic too, which is fine, but it's like, I don't know how much this will change. But yeah, anytime I'm like making anything, I think, yeah, it's just... whatever, throw some salt on it, throw some pepper, throw some whatever.
Right. Roxanne in the chat says, what's a measuring cup? Exactly. You eyeball it.
Yeah.
You eyeball exactly. everything. Except when I'm baking. I have to use measuring cups when I'm baking.
The one time you're like never supposed to. Yes. That's why my one friend, she's been pouting this chocolate cake that's absolutely delicious.
Uh-huh.
Since I met her. Like 10 years ago. And she's like, oh, it's my grandma's recipe. She's like, I gotta find it. And she just never has. And so I'm like, you've been talking about this chocolate cake. Because I told her I don't really care for chocolate cake. And she's like, oh, you'll love this one. She's been talking about it for 10 years.
I'm like, and you still haven't gotten any.
Talking about this chocolate cake. It's gonna be one of those things that we talk about forever. Yeah, I'm never gonna have it. It's gonna be like, oh, that chocolate cake, you're gonna love it. And I'm just never gonna get it.
The ever elusive like chocolate cake.
I want that chocolate cake. You've been hyping it up for years.
Oh man, it's one of those ones where you hope that it lives up to the hype.
And then that's what Peyton said too. She's like, oh, I'm good. We're hyping this up, and it's not even going to be like great. I was like, still, you're making it worse. The longer it goes on,
right.
Like, they talk about whatever frosting that goes with it. They're like, oh, yeah, the frosting's really good. I was like, stop! Give it to me. Stop talking about it. Just talk about it all the time. Someday. I'll get that chocolate cake. But, yeah. Look, we went to the kitchen. We haven't been there in a while.
We haven't. We really haven't. I'm not even going to try to think about when the last time we got to the kitchen. I feel like it was fairly recently, but it might have been like a month or two. But if we have any of our loyal listeners or loyal viewers who can remember the last time we had a discussion about things that take place in the kitchen, let us know. You can do that by reaching out to us on social media. You can find us on our Tumblr page at spiderbitespodcast.tumblr.com. There's an Ask Us Anything link right there on the page. You can click that, send us a message, or you can find us on Facebook. Just search for Spider Bites Podcast, and that's Bites, B-Y-T-E-S. Or you can reach out to us on Twitter at Spider Bites Cast. Again, questions, comments, you want to share a story, any type of message you want to send us, happy to hear from you. If you want to forgo social media and still get in touch with us, you can email us at spiderbitespodcast@gmail.com. If you want to keep up with the show, as I said at the beginning of the episode, you can find us on Twitch every Thursday night at 7:30 p.m. Central Time at twitch.tg. Ugh, almost had it. twitch.tv/TJSpider. Too many T's in there. You can be a part of the chat and you can watch us as we record the episode live. But if you can't make it to a live recording, you can still follow the show on just about any podcast streaming service. We're on Apple, Google, Stitcher, Spotify, Podchaser, Amazon Music, Pandora, iHeartRadio, you name it. There's a very good chance that we're on it. But if you do follow us on any of those podcast streaming services, we ask if you can leave us a rating, leave us a review. It's a good free way to help the show. The ratings help us move up those podcast charts. So that way, if someone's looking for a new podcast to listen to, they're more likely to see our show show up on that list. And then we'll have more listeners. You'll have a bigger community to interact with. But the reviews help us because it lets us know how you feel about the show. It lets us know the things that you enjoy, the things that you think we can improve upon. So we'll take those reviews. There's anything else that we need to change, anything else that you think we could do a little bit better, or some things that you think we do great and you want us to continue it. We'll take that back and we'll talk about it. We'll figure it out. That way we can bring a better quality show to you. But if you don't want to use any podcast streaming services, you can still keep up with the show by going to our website at spiderbites.buzzsprout.com. It's an online audio player. You can access it from a browser, whether you're on a laptop, a PC, phone, or a tablet. You just go to the website, scroll down to whichever episode you want to listen to, click play, and my internet just dropped out in the middle of me doing it in the outro. Love it. But if you go to our website, spiderbites.buzzsprout.com, go to whichever episode you want to listen to, click play, and it'll start playing right there from your browser. If you want to get in touch with Ashley and myself individually, our social media links are in the description of the show, as well as the links to everything else that I just mentioned.
Seeing about the cat thing in the chat, it's always funny to see what animals really like, because, like, my cat, he really likes like French fries, potato chips, tortilla chips, things like that. Mm-hmm. And then like my dog really likes plain white rice and like plain tofu. It's like, why are you animals so weird?
That is very interesting.
Smokey also loves cheese. Yeah, it's
I never thought about that.
I remember one day when I figured out that Smokey really liked French fries because it's like, it's a long time ago, years ago. But I like we had McDonald's for dinner one day or something. I had leftover fries, so I took them up to my room and I set them on like, I don't know, my desk or table or something like that. I just remember hearing them like fall when I like went to go do something else and like turning around and Smokey's like eating them. I was like, what the heck? And ever since then, he's just a fiend for French fries.
Cats.
So, you
cats,
know.
Cats are something else.
Toby. Smokey's not that picky, but Toby's really picky. He's like, he loves peanut butter. That's a thing. Anytime I have peanut butter, which sometimes, you know, I'll just get like a spoonful of peanut butter. Sometimes I'll make a peanut butter sandwich or whatever. But mm-hmm. as soon as he like hears the top start to open, he knows what it is and he comes running.
I feel like most dogs like peanut butter.
I can't have peanut butter in peace. I think so. But he's so picky, so it's interesting to him. I know my dad, my parents, one of their dogs, Dusty, he loves like fruits and vegetables. He would prefer those over like the treats that they give him most of the time. He'd rather have like a carrot or like an apple or something like that. I know carrots for sure he likes. I know fruits and vegetables is what they talk about, but I can't think of any of the other specifics, just carrots I know. But yeah. So it's just interesting.
Shell said her cat hates peas. So that's interesting.
Me too. I don't really like peas either.
To be honest, I don't either. So, just to join the club.
Yeah. Nobody likes peas. Peas are very... They're too mushy.
They are. Get out of here, peas. Nobody likes you.
Although that probably implies that Michelle's probably... eating peas, and that's why she knows her cat doesn't like
them. No, she doesn't like vegetables at all, to be honest.
Really? What the heck? I love vegetables. I went over this with my cousin yesterday because I was like, I don't remember, we were talking about like pickles and stuff or something like that, but I was like, yeah, I love cucumbers. She was like, absolutely not. And she's like, my grandma loves pickled beets. Who even eats beets? I was like, oh my god, I just had beets earlier. It's like I had some canned beets.
Beets are on.
I love vegetables, most of them except for peas.
Most of them except for peas. Now I have a long no list of vegetables. There are very few select vegetables that I'm picky about that I actually like.
What the heck? I can't think of any off the top of my head that I don't like, except for like...
Except for peas?
I don't like peas. I like broccoli, I like cucumbers, carrots, cauliflower. I love cauliflower. Green beans, beets. I don't know what else is a vegetable.
So many other things.
I don't know. I just know I don't like peas. Yeah.
That'll be a list that we have to...
I don't much care for asparagus either. Is that a vegetable?
Yes, that is a vegetable. I mean, unless it's one of those vegetables that's like, okay. It's not considered to be a vegetable, like it's a tuber or something. You know, they're like all these other classifications of different types of food.
Well, that's like...
Yeah. Like a strawberry like is not really tomato. A berry, but like a banana onion, is a berry or something like that.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't care that much. But I like tomatoes. I like onions. I love onions.
Nope. I can leave onions.
There's so many vegetables.
Yeah. And that'll be a conversation for another day.
Fine. Fine. We'll go back to the kitchen another day.
Ashley's so disgusted with me right now.
Cousin, she's like, I don't like cucumbers. I was like, what the heck? I love cucumbers so much. My grandma used to have a garden and she would have cucumbers. I would just pick them right off and eat them right there.
Nope. I cannot imagine living in a world where I would ever do something like that.
Are you picky that way with fruits?
No. definitely not picky that way with fruit. There are, I think, just like how you have a very select few vegetables that you don't like, I have a very select few I don't like.
See, I think I'm the opposite. I'm more picky when it comes to fruit than vegetables.
Yep. Yeah, we'll definitely have to revisit this topic. We have to get to the bottom of this.
All right. Next week.
Next week, we'll talk about fruits and vegetables and the ones we love and the ones we hate. But until then, to all of our listeners, to all of our viewers here in Twitch, thank you so much for joining us this week. I cannot talk. Oh, my God. We love you. We appreciate you. And we will see you all for the next episode. Bye, everybody.
See ya.